Hi, everybody. David Donaldson here with another episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. This week's guest is Andrew Mertz from America's Preferred Home Warranty. Andrew's the regional director overseeing our region and a couple other regions up and down the Eastern Seaboard. And we thought it'd be really great today to kind of have a conversation about the other types of impact in our industry, right? We have relationships, we have preferred partners, we've got vendor relationships. But there's so much more to contract to close than just executing a contract. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of other organizations that we need to incorporate. And one of those is home warranty. So, Andrew, I thought I'd kind of bring you on today. Tell everybody who you are, where you come from. What makes you tick?
Thanks, David. Yeah, no, pleasure to be here with you. How much time do we have? No, I've been with America's Preferred for, actually, it's coming up. It's hard to believe where time goes. It'll be 9 years in March. I was the area sales manager, got boots on the ground, all of Eastern PA and the state of Delaware. I was in that role for...
Go Eagles!
There you go. Go Birds. That's right. A great day. Great day to be from Philly, right? Oh, right, I love there. It. You got it. See, yep. There's my skyline behind me. So I started out with that. It was 9 years ago. I was in the field collaborating with agents and starting to integrate with Keller Williams even then. And that was all of Eastern PA, the state of Delaware. So I was there for about 3 years, moved into more of intermediate management and kind of internal support in a team leader, not like Keller Williams team leader, right? But just kind of best practices, coaching, accountability with a bunch of other area sales managers. And I did that for about a year and a half before I moved into this regional sales director role. So now still supporting agents, but from a leadership capacity. So really working closely with OPs, like you said, regions, the Virginia, Maryland regions there. Greater PA has been a big part of our relationships, the Carolinas, upstate New York, and tri-state as well. So really supporting from Maine all the way down to South Carolina. And it's been a great run. I come from a background in commercial finance, and it was a very interesting time to be in it back in 07, 08, 09. All realtors listening to this can relate, right? Every industry was
wrong. I got my license in 07.
There you go, right? We all learned what job security was, right? Mm-hmm. So spent quite a few years in commercial finance. I've always been around some customer service industry, right? Whether it was, restaurants. I had quite a bit of time as a GM for a predominant international moving company. Seeing how people work, how does systems and models work? How do we support and collaborate with others to help them grow and solve the needs that they have? So when America's Preferred came along, I started learning about us as a company, researching the warranty industry, and I saw, wow, what an opportunity here, right? I can have the security of basically a W-2 employee and yet run it like it's my own company. So we really encourage all of our area sales managers that way, whether they come from education or sales, all different walks of backgrounds, just to see, hey, how can we help agents grow their business and strengthen relationships with clients? That's really kind of the 10,000 foot of it.
I love that mindset of it. And we spend a lot of time talking with agents, like, we're in a relationship business. And I get it. We're salespeople, yep. Right? We're all salespeople to a degree. And people find it like salespeople, is that a negative connotation? No, it's not. Embrace it. It is what we are. It's what we do with it that matters, right? And it is a relationship-based business. It's still sales.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? So there's that mindset. You gotta get right. But mm-hmm. when you're coming from an aptitude of contribution and helping, you're not in sales, you're in support.
Yeah.
And so you're just coming from the associate side and supporting the consumers, because if you don't execute, right, you don't have a whole lot of relationships with your agent base.
That's right.
So it's kind of, I kind of wanted to jump in and look at mm-hmm. home ownership, mm-hmm. right, for most people, actually, for most people, is the single largest acquisition. We've kind of heard that. Yeah. But I always find it interesting, and there's a real paradox to this, that it's kind of like government contracting, like the most expensive thing on the cheapest, right? We do that with housing, and our consumers do that too. They're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's just going up every day, right? And they're also looking for shortcuts about why am I paying for this or why am I paying for that. And I think home warranties are one of those things that I have often provided for my clients. Mm-hmm. And And a lot of times when they've had the option to do it, they opt not to. So why does that paradox exist, right? Why would people not choose that level of coverage or insurance for all intents and purposes mm-hmm. on that incredibly valuable asset?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is it, right? I mean, it's kind of the elephant in the room. Keller Williams has always been a big proponent of this cost to value ratio, right? This is really what we're getting into. If I can be bold here with you, David, really a lot of it boils down to agent mindset.
Okay.
Right. We've gone through a tumultuous time the past 4 or 5 years where there's been a lot of market and client engagement shift. The landscape of how we do business is ever evolving. And so in that, with both fluctuations in price of home, in price of just consumer goods, right? Where are people spending their money? Interest rates, there's all these, you know, economic multifaceted reasons. A lot of it though is, well, why is the homeowner, the seller or the buyer using their agent in the first place, right? They are the economist of choice. They are the trusted resource. So when that agent is really advocating on their behalf, you know, hey, here's why you work with me, because I give you better, more white glove service. I'm the hub in your transaction so that you don't have to worry about all of this paperwork, all of these deadlines, all of these moving pieces pertaining to the financial risk of buying and selling a home. The agent takes all of that on for them, right? And so where we've seen things like waivers of contingency, escalation clauses over the past few years, right? That there are pockets now, the pendulum swinging back, right? We're starting to see maybe a little bit longer days on market. We're not seeing big drops in price reductions in most areas yet. Hopefully that will start to come. But when it comes to the parachute, the financial parachute, like you were saying, you know, buying or selling a home is the biggest financial decision of any person in their life, right? And so for the vast majority, we really just get into mastermind with the agents and we say, hey, you know, are you making sure that before your client jumps out of this financial airplane, that they have their parachute on? And that's the stopgap for them. So, you know, it's the unexpected. You know, we think about, you know, people might always assume, well, it's not going to be me, right? Like I'll be okay. But we look at stats from NAR, you know, upwards of 80% of buyers are having system issues and it's always the thing they never thought would happen. But why did it go away? I mean, again, really boil that down to agent mindset. I say, let's really advocate for our clients. Let's advocate for our consumers.
Yeah.
Don't I think leave them out there to the coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Yeah, you're right. I think agents, the more seasoned ones, right, maybe get a better understanding, but I think newer people are struggling to, hey, where's my value proposition in this transaction, finding their base, right? Yeah. And having a team of partners, right, is kind of what we're talking about and the value that I bring. They do tend to see it as an extra, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's where it kind of goes back to how involved, how well do you know the people that you're working with and the offerings that you have versus like, hey, I'm in a car dealership and I'm paying for an extra undercoating on my car. That's not really what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
How do you express to somebody, so if I'm a new agent and say, hey, this is how this impacts the success of your transaction and potentially long-term relationship with the consumer. Like, how does that all wrap together? Because I think that when we talk about transactions, I'm often talking about transactional relationship versus generational relationship. And I do think their experience with the house is tied to the things that can go wrong and where they're going to point the finger. So what does that look like from your side when you're having that conversation?
Yeah, for sure. So, if you really look at, you know, any net sheet or cost of doing business from a seller and buyer perspective, there's a gap that's opened up, right? The home inspection on the front end is telling, right? They're great. I'd never recommend not getting a home inspection, but they don't solve potential unknown problems, right? And then on the other end of that spectrum, you've got home insurance. Also a necessity, right? Fire, flood, acts of God, catastrophe. Well, what about everything in between, right? So from the agent's perspective and where we really get in from education is, well, who's standing by the homeowners, our shared clients, buyers or sellers, pre-sale, post-sale, when all of those little things start to add up that go wrong. $500 here because this broke, or $1,500 there because I never saw that coming, right? Who's covering that? That's the warranty, right? So all those things, normal wear and tear, right? You know, you wake up 2-3 in the morning and there's a plumbing leak coming through the ceiling. Oh my gosh, who do we call? That's the leverage for the agent, right? They don't have to field that phone call. They don't have to go into their own pockets to help the homeowner out for $25,000, let's say, in claims over a first year, right, which is the vast majority of aggregate coverage. They have that insulation there. And so you're taking all of these unknowns, these what would otherwise be massively emotional, very stressful situations, and turning that into a positive because you're alongside them in it as the agent, right? Like, hey, aren't you glad we did this for you, right? It wasn't a negotiable. It was just like title and homeowners insurance on every single transaction. Hey, here's X dollars for America's Preferred or a home warranty in general, right? We do this to protect you because when something goes wrong or goes sideways after you close, I can't tell you, David, how many times I've been in a room full of realtors. It's like, how many of you have gotten that call? You know, it's like 3 weeks after the closing and there's water all over the floor because the dishwasher blew up, right? Right? You know, it's
like closing. How about 3 days before closing?
There you go. We've seen hot water heaters at walkthrough. You know what I mean? They're like, we don't know what to do. Like, hey, guess what? You haven't paid for it yet, but you still have the coverage, right? Let's call it in. Let's get somebody out and things are fixed like right away. So that's really... Yeah, and we can go down a bunch of rabbit holes there, but hopefully that.
I would love to share with me some of those experiences because I think people like it's like security. People are like, oh, do I need to pay for security? This is what we're talking about: insurance, security, all those things. Yeah. You hope you never need it, but there are myriads of stories out there that are like, my gosh, thank God I did, right? Yeah. Whether it was that transitional coverage from sale to buy, right? That gap insurance, right? But I think I have personally had many experiences where like. We had it or we didn't, but we worked with the company that did it. Share with some of the experience. I think people love to hear about the worst case scenarios sometimes. What's the craziest thing you've ever had to come across where you guys kind of flew in with your capes and said, hey, we got this?
Yeah. I mean, the amazing thing is, and we're blessed, we're very fortunate as a company to have the business model that we do, because many of those, we'll call them war stories, right? Everybody's reasoning, and I think from an industry perspective, we'll never knock our competition. We're very kind of highbrow about that. But the warranty industry has shifted, right, as a whole, right? And it's become more like insurance. And so where many people have had pain points before, we don't see them or experience them the same way, right? Many times it might just be a misunderstanding or miscommunication, breakdown in communication, between us and the contractor. We operate under a model that the homeowner picks who they want to handle those claims right up front. So they don't have to wait for us to send anybody out or use our systems and appliances that we bought refurbished or wholesale and been sitting in a warehouse for how long. So, some things that might come up, like we use that example, the hot water heater at time of walkthrough when they think, oh, well, I need to actually close to get coverage. Well, no, you had it on the listing, you're good, right? You can still get that handled. There's always outside of like something major, like structural, which we could help with, right? We have a whole structural arm. But in your, we'll keep it to like resale side, buyer, seller. Warranties aren't going to look at things like windows, right? But like your roof leak repair, we'll do things like that. We've seen, I think, one of the funnier ones, it was a huge deal for this client. It was a dishwasher in a basement bar. Right. So secondary appliance, no home warranties cover those types of things. And we said, hey, you know what, let's take a look at it. We were able to go above and beyond and help out a little bit. So, it's like when those things come up, it's like if we don't know, we can't help, at least call us anyway. Right. Because we'll be happy to see where we can go above and beyond, because we know it's the agent's referral that's on the line. Right. So we want to do business a better way that way.
Yeah. And that's an important point. And those things, we're talking about in the moment, right? But a lot of times, right, there's a cascading, there's a timeline that people are in their house. And we're seeing that timeline grow. And I get questions a lot of times, what's new construction? Do I bother? Is there warranty in place, right? Or the house is 15, 20 years old. What should I be looking out for? Yeah. I think people sometimes, or a lot of times, because it's done at transition, then that renewal happens.
Yeah.
What does that conversation look like? Like, hey, yeah, you didn't have to use it. And here's why you should keep running with it, right? How does that conversation happen? where does the agent play into that to keep that relationship working together?
Yeah, absolutely. So two kinds of things will happen. The vast majority of them do use that in the first year, which is great because, again, back to that kind of cost value ratio, they've used it, they've interacted with it, they see that value, they're going to be that much more prone to renew. And you have to get in with them around like, hey, you know, spend a little to save a lot, right? And that's it is, you know, from a leverage piece, from the time it might take them to save up and get these thousands of dollars to cover these unforeseen repairs that inevitably all happen at some point, they can just roll that into a renewal on like a monthly payment scale, right? The first payment at closing, they don't feel it's just rolled into closing costs. And then after that, they can renew on a monthly basis. So many homeowners will come back for that because they see the value. They say, hey, you know what? This is actually helping me save because I don't need all this liquidity right up front. I have America's Preferred in my corner, right, to help me out. We use a technology system. It's called Real Pro, where our agents can interface to get invoices and you know, any order any complimentary marketing pieces if they're including us in their listing and closing packets. All of that's used right through there. So it can really be almost even a type of a CRM. You know, a lot of our agents will use that. They'll roll back 11 months and say, okay, what were all the contracts that I sold? Oh, here's all my homes, right? And then let me reach out and call those folks. So, you know, just different ways to enhance maybe some of the things that they're already doing from like a residual touch point, staying top of mind with them. The big powerful impact is on the list side, right? So for any of those listing agents out there, they've really used us because if they procure the contract, regardless of who pays for it at closing, the buyer inevitably is the one that's using it. So orphaned after the sale of the home. So they're actually getting both the thank you cards post-close 30 days, and then we send out the repair cards as they happen as well. So they know, oh, you know, $1,500 or $1,700 paid out on electrical on 123 Main Street, that's their touch point back. Hey, aren't you glad that we did that? And they're able to utilize that conversation to open up referral opportunities. So really two ways to look at that, right? Seeing when it's coming up on expiration, and then the notifications that we'll do throughout that first year gives them great reminders. We had one agent, multiples of agents that did this, but one that I personally interacted with gave me some of this insight. They were like, hey, you know, they offer, depends where you are economically, right? But they offered to pay for that homeowner's renewal, right? And it was just a great way 12 months after the close for them to stay in touch. Like, hey, you know, I just want to let you know I'm still with you, right? As far as living in that home, it's the experience of it all.
Yeah, I think that's so important that like you touch on orphans. We talk about that all the time. Like these touch points, the follow-up, like we may be really great at transactional close. We may be really good at lead generation. I tell you, the majority of agents, the numbers tell you the truth, that they're really terrible at follow-up, right? So having a follow-up plan or a follow-up partner, right, that, hey, your consumer ran into this incident. We took care of it. We want you to know about it, right? So we're making you aware and reach out to them. Right. Because then they get to validate, hey, this was well taken care of. They know about it. They're doing their check-ins. And those re-ups, right, are just as important as they were when they closed the first time. Right. Because wear and tear happens. Right. Kids happen. Like nature happens. All those things come to play. Like I've been in my backyard during windstorms going, blow it off. Because, you know, like that age thing comes into play. Right.
That's so. Right. Yep.
Because I had insurance on it. I am like, I know this is covered. Yes. Now, it sounds a little facetious and terrible, but there's some truth to that. Hey, we invest in these things. So it's not just like, hey, I want to get my money back. Right.
That's right.
And I think that's the misnomer for a lot of people. Like they don't realize, right, that security blanket that it ultimately provides to them. And let's leave it kind of jump a little bit. Unfortunately, I think I don't see it as much as I used to. Right. But there's this connotation like, well, it's insurance, and they're going to do everything they can to not make me whole. How do you deal with those conversations? Because it's real. Some companies, historical experience for people that they've experienced, like either I had it, or then they got rid of me because the house had issues. What does that look like? Because relationships are everything. And if I put somebody in front of somebody, and then all of a sudden they go, you're kind of tapped out.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
And that's the shift in the landscape of the warranty industry, right, that's happened, and that's been a longer degradation. We're talking not just, you know, since COVID. This goes back maybe like 10, 15 years. And we'll talk to very tenured agents, and they're like, ah, warranties aren't like the good old days where, you know, you pay $300 and they give you a whole new HVAC system. And well, yeah, that's true, right? Because it's not a sustainable business model. At the same time, there are, and we've been around in the grand scheme of things as a warranty company, we've been around for the greater part of 25 years and counting now. So still relatively fledgling if you look at the longer timeline of all of our competitors, but we've seen what hasn't worked in our industry. So we are not publicly held. We're a privately held and owned and operated family business type company, right? Which really allows us to operate differently and much more lean and adapt to those interaction points. And really what that comes down to is we know two things. If we don't pay claims selflessly, our agents don't get referral opportunities. And selfishly, we don't get renewals, right? So we absolutely want to make sure those claims are paid because everybody wins, right? Keller Williams, win-win, absolutely, in all interactions. And so that's really where we come from. The stance is, you know, first and foremost, living by the golden rule, right? And that's how our company is built and founded upon, is that, you know, we want to treat others like we want to be treated. Yes, all home warranties have contracts. They have terms and conditions. All home warranties operate within some bounds of limits, right? We do it a lot differently because we don't have contractors. So we don't have the same overhead that our competitors do. We're putting the homeowner in the driver's seat to be an empowered consumer and make their own financial decisions with the monies that we can put towards claims. It's going to cover a lot of costs for repairs. If they want to go above and beyond and maybe offset some replacement, right? Maybe get something a little bit higher end, they can do that too. It's better, faster service, right? Cost is only a factor in the absence of value. We've said it a lot, and that's really where it comes down to is the value there? They got somebody out that they knew, liked, and trusted. We were right there on the phone with them, getting the diagnosis, issuing credit card payment over the phone. The agent looks like a superstar because they said, wow, thank you for looking out for me, right? And giving us a better product and service.
So with the landscape, so there's a lot of things that are changing. Like the timeline of people in their house is going to be longer, right? Because people are married to the rate now. And so that's changing a lot of dynamics.
For sure.
But at the same time, what we're improving our houses with has changed. The cost of investment, the technology platforms that are in the house, smart homes, right? Yeah. We talk about the power of home and the relationship of home. How has the home warranty company kept up with it? Because we're not just talking about water heaters or HVAC anymore. We're talking about a lot more about technologically advanced components that I don't know if people understand that where my home warranty comes into play with. So how are you guys evolving with the technology in the home for smart homes is evolving?
Yeah, absolutely. So that one, we jumped in front of that quite some time ago, probably about 5 to 6 years ago. It was like right before COVID happened and that big shift moved, right? Everybody started working from home. So we saw this need for work from home environment. And as a company, like I said, you know, being privately held, owned, and operated, it gives us a lot more flexibility to make decisions. And a lot of that's in our innovation. So when we look at this, we're always evaluating enhancement opportunities, right? Okay, how can we go above and beyond our industry standards? How can we do things differently outside of the realm of the warranty? And so a lot of it started, like I said, they're pre-COVID, looking at technological support, right? So we have a whole arm to our warranty that covers home office type stuff, TVs, smartphones, computers, printers, you name it, right? So that's a piece in that, right? It's not just the systems, appliances, plumbing, electric anymore. We can do electronics coverage. And then even recently, it was actually the beginning of last year, 2024, we had seen because of where all of the, you know, where a lot of fraud was happening, wire fraud, right? There's a lot of scrutiny of the transaction, a lot of eyes on it. And so we said, you know, that there's got to be some ways to address these blind spots. And so to protect our agents and our homeowners, we actually did an alignment with a national identity theft and title insurance company. It's called AIG, right? Much like a LifeLock. And so what otherwise would cost a homeowner for security purposes, you know, upwards of $700, $800 a year, we're including that in one of our standard policies with only a $50 deductible. It gives the homeowner $1 million insurance rider for title and identity theft protection, recovery, and monitoring. That's for everybody in the home. So we're always looking for ways to bridge these gaps and blind spots in our industry to keep the agent even more connected than they were before to the homeowner. So it's happening through technology. It's happening through that identity theft and title fraud protection and recovery. And there's more stuff coming, but I got to keep that kind of buttoned up.
I understand. Yeah. And I like that you started to say, hey, now we're evolving or modernizing and things, but you know, we recognize that some things that are overlooked. Is there any one thing, like, so again, I always think of big ticket items. What's the most overlooked thing that people don't realize that they are covered on in home warranty that they could or don't take advantage of the most?
Yeah. So, it's funny because it's a compounding effect, right? And you know, we had some correspondence before today's call, and it's like most people think of the big ticket items, right? HVAC, water heater. We were one that pioneered roof leak protection. We're not the only one that does that anymore. We used to be. So, you know, you're always going to have to stay above your competition. But like roof leak protection is a big one because people don't think about a lot of that. It's like, oh my goodness, I need a whole new roof. Well, maybe it's just some failed flashing around a chimney, right? Or some blown off shingles during a storm. You might not necessarily need to lean on your homeowner's insurance and jack your premiums up. So that was a big one. More recently, one that we identified was a big blind spot in the industry was external sewer lines from, you know, this no man's land from the foundation to the street. Yeah. A lot of people had to go outside of their own insurances and say, okay, well, I got to go contract with my municipality, whatever, right? If there's like, you know, tree roots or breakages, what have you. And so we've started to include that standard. All home warranties are very traditionally just foundation in, right? Walls in on the coverage policy. So we're looking at some of that expanse there. And that's something that we integrated as well.
I love that. I'm going to resurface that for a lot of people. Like some of those calls, especially roof and things like that or floods, people go automatically to the home insurance, which has a troubling effect to them. Because if you want to talk about actually getting booted, right, file a claim and see what happens.
Right.
So I think a lot of times people don't realize that, hey, this other call I could make might save me a lot of pain and coverage in the meantime. So looking at that as, again, we'll call that gap insurance for the bigger claims, right, is a great way to look at that.
It's like, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's the right terminology, right, but you think about like, okay, am I doubly insured? And that question will come up a lot. I have homeowners insurance. What do I need warranty for? And here being in the Mid-Atlantic Northeast, you know, you think about the storms that we get hit with and the floods that will happen, right? So water damage. Well, hey, if your sump pump fails, the home insurance is covering flood damage, not necessarily the mechanical failure, right? So you have both the warranty addresses. Well, here's the thing that broke, the system, the parts involved in that. So a lot of those little things that really add up. I mean, you look at labor on electrical or plumbing costs. That's been a huge benefit for folks to just call in and say, yeah, let me get my own plumber, my own, electrical contractor out, and he can do that work for me. And I know him, he's going to do great stuff. And I'm going to get some great financial offset or coverage from APHW with credit card over the phone. It really changes a lot of that cash flow for them, especially when the vast majority of folks are living paycheck to paycheck.
Well, this has been incredibly valuable. And for those of you that are listening at home, you know, again, ask these questions of your people. Right. Yeah. Get into relationship with those that will help you succeed on your relationships with your consumers and know who you're in business with. Where are their gaps? What are their strengths? How are they going to support you? Because they only win if you win. And that's kind of really what this conversation was all about today. So, Andrew, I really can't thank you enough for joining us today on Entrepreneurial Impact. Yeah. And awesome. Thanks, go Birds. Dan.
That's right. Yeah, great. Great to be with you. And I look forward to seeing you and maybe any listeners at Family Reunion next week when we're out with you guys.
Excellent. Take care, Andrew. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll see you. God bless.